Somebody shout glory! Shout glory! Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, are you hungry? If the person doesn't reply, turn to the other side. Are you hungry? It's time to be fed. It's my honor to be here tonight. I want to sincerely, from the depth of my heart, celebrate God's servant, Pastor O.B. Jesse. Make that louder! You know, when you start walking with God, I'm not saying when you are born again. I say when you start walking with God, you will discover that your greatest advantage is the voice of God. But at the same time, you will also discover that your greatest limitation is the voice of God. You will know so much that you can do. You will be so creative. There are many things you can do in a month that will change everything about you. But because God has not spoken, you will wait. And sometimes you will wait for 10 years. What your level of creativity and reasoning can give to you in 3 months, sometimes the voice of God will make you wait for it for 10 years. Because God is not only interested in giving, God is interested in making you. I said that to say this. Pastor is a father. Listen. If he wanted to do ministry the conventional way, all of us here would have been in children's church. Because in this conference today would have been governors, senators, commissioners. And it's not because he couldn't pastor those cadre of people. But the voice of God told him to pay attention to the youth. Listen. Sometimes when you observe people, their life alone is a message. All of you coming for this camp meeting are coming to receive. If he was pastoring people of that cadre in a meeting like this, people will come with cars. They will come with checks in hundreds of millions. Meetings like this will break different banks' accounts. But you see, the voice of God said to pay attention to the youth. Now, most of you, after 5, 6, 7 years, you may disconnect. And he has been in this business for more than 2 decades, so he knows what I'm saying. Most of you will disconnect. He will never see you again. You'll become big ministers in different territories. At the end of the day, the only thing he will have is the reward of heaven. So when we say celebrate people like this, you don't understand. One more time. For their labor. Yes, we don't worship men, but we honor their labor and track record. Yes, we honor you, sir. Thank you so much. Now, if you are ready, Lift your hands toward heaven. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The hour has come. Pray in the Spirit. If you don't want to hear me with your head but with your heart, then pray in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, listen to me. Some of you are stepping into a higher energy level in the spirit. Your prayer altars have been suffering. Your consecration level has been weak because there is a contrary force that have negated it. But right now you are stepping into a higher energy level in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. There are migrations taking place. Transports are taking place in the spirit. Like an ascension. Please listen to me. I want these words to enter your spirit, man. Listen. Most of you, I see in the spirit where God wants you to stand and minister to your generation, but you've not been able to mount up with wings. But as we worship, there is an ascension in the spirit, and the hand of God is moving you to a higher plane in the spirit to command authority that is needed for your ordination. Please be calm. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please be sensitive. Please. Peace be still. Peace be still. That atmosphere is beginning to descend. Just be calm. You have provoked it in the spirit. Be calm. Be calm. There's a movement taking place in the spirit. You are interacting with it now. The hand of God will touch some of you. That atmosphere will take over some of you. Some of you will literally be caught up in a vision. As I'm talking now, it's beginning to happen. The hand of God shifting people in the spirit.
shifting people.
Some of you will find yourself crying. Go ahead. Don't quench the spirit. Holy Ghost, touch them. Enter, enter. Migrate in the spirit. Those of you here, lift your hands toward heaven. There's a great, there's a strange, strong anointing upon you. Those of you wearing black here, some of you will be ordained as messengers of the covenant. There's a great unction upon you. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I sense a great unction here. Those of you on black, watch, something is coming upon you from today. At the count of three, Lord, release this impartation upon them. 1, 2, 3. Holy Ghost, touch. 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 Jesus. Both of you hold your hands together. That young man on blue and the one on ash. Both of you. You hold your friend. Hold your hands together. Hold your hands together. Turn and face me. There's a grace of God upon your life. You will prophesy and you will preach the gospel from nations to nations. Father, look at me, such as I have, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. Holy Ghost, touch them. There's a grace upon you. I bring you into that ordination. Thank you, Lord. Please sit down. Sit down for a moment. For those who are drenched, just flow. Don't allow us distracted with any message. Just connect to Jesus. I'll share with us for just 30 minutes tonight. I'm sensing a very strong prophetic anointing upon a sister. This lady is fair in complexion. A very strong prophetic anointing. Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever that person is, right now I provoke a release of that anointing. Touch! Touch! Some of you will leave here tonight, you will not be able to sleep. A strong grace, intercessory grace, will come upon you. You will tongue through the night. The powers
and the energy of revival, I release it upon you. Revivalist of the first order, men that will take nations and territories, powers in the heavens.
There is a fountain bubbling in the spirit. Some of you will receive the strength of 10 men, and it will become the grace for speed. Speed in the spirit. All of a sudden, you will overtake and you will conquer. Speed in the spirit. There are bettings taking place in the spirit. Destinies are being realized. Visions. Men who are pregnant with visions and divine ordinations receive grace to bet them. That's what's bubbling in your spirit. I bring you the strength of the divine. I bring you the ability of the divine. I provoke bad things in the spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost is ministering to people. I want to share, but I have not received clearance to begin, because God is ministering to people. Ushers, where are the ushers? Wave at me. The hand of God is about to come on certain people now. There is a grace that makes for speed in the spirit. God wants to shift them in the spirit. Bring those ones to me here. I want to touch them. There's a grace is coming upon them. From the left to the right. From the front to the back. Right now, I release that impartation. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Of you have been resisted before now. Every door standing in front of you, I come with the apostolic authority and I command those doors to break. I don't open them. I command the doors to break. I bring you entrance and access in the spirit. Doors are opening. You have stood at one spot for 5 years, for 10 years. By this prophetic mantle,
I command the doors open and I push you. Go forward in the spirit. Fountains of the deep, my heart comes. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, God. Thank you, Lord. Shiftings and movements in the spirit. You have not only come to hear a message. I come to you in the office of an apostle. And I command your circumstances to change for good. I command doors to open to you. And I shift you forward. I command afflictions to go down. I command limitations to cease. Let a new town begin in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please, you may be seated. Just allow them. Allow them. God is rewriting their stories. Thank you, Lord. Some of them will sleep. Just leave them. They will wake up into a new experience and a new order of existence. I'm seeing someone in the spirit. This is a young boy. You're about 23 years old. There's a ministry of angels about to be given to you. You will hear sounds. You will receive directives, wisdoms, and you have experiences in the heavenlies. It's an angelic operation. You are stepping into that dimension. And if I speak by the Spirit of God, right now, the hand of God will locate you. And it will become the dawn of a new day. In the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, the one implicated by this world. Step into that dimension. Thank you, Father.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. Just leave her. Leave them. When they are up, they will go and sit down. Peace be still. Peace. In the name of Jesus. Stop playing for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you join me again. Ushers, you can go and sit down. Don't worry. When God is done with them, they will sit. Peace be still. Thank you, Father. I want to share with us tonight, very briefly, I'll be sharing with us tonight and tomorrow night, on the subject of dominion. And so tonight, I want to give us the spiritual laws or the sovereign laws of dominion. And then tomorrow, I will share on the universal laws of dominion. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you, your lives will never remain the same again. Never. And when I'm done teaching, you understand. Your lives will never remain the same again. Man was created as God's agency of establishing his kingdom and his government. The dominion of God on the face of the earth is the primary expression of the ministry that was handed over to man. The rulership and the government of God on the face of the earth is God's primary assignment to man to bring to pass. So dominion is not just what we desire. The expression of dominion is ingrained in our spiritual DNA. We were created to rule. This is why no man wants to be ruled. Because man is a kingly being. The design of man is such that he was given authority to bring about rulership and dominion to the face of the earth. Man was not created to be ruled. Man was created a ruler. This is why every time
you want to dominate a man, he rebels. And I will tell you between the balance between dominating a man and leading a man. Many don't understand the place of leading. They mistake leading to dominance. Everybody you want to lead will yield to you. Because leadership brings men into the full expression of their ordination. But dominion kills the godly ingredient that is in man. So every man resists dominion. But every man appreciates leadership. The reason is because man is a kingly being. In Genesis 1:28, when God said man to rule, he didn't say man should rule man. He gave man authority and he gave him jurisdiction over the birds of the earth, over everything that creeps upon the face of the earth, and over everything that is in the water. So the jurisdiction of man's rulership is over creation, because every man is born a king. No man is born a servant. And to reenact it in the provision of salvation, we were redeemed kings and priests on the face of the earth. And if we are kings, he said, where the word of the Lord is, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? So the servant and the slavery mentality is an aberration of your design. You may look small and vulnerable, but seated on your inside is a kingly spirit, because that is how you were designed. The day a man falls from the realm of rulership, it is a sign that he's a fallen man indeed. In fact, one of the cardinal definitions of the fall, it is actually a decline from the authority to rule. The fall of man actually imparted in his inability to rule, whereas he was created to rule. So his ability to rule, rather, was affected. That's why we call it the fall, because he was created to operate in a class of God and kings. But he had fallen from that realm. So when we discuss the subject of dominion, we are not trying to get people to begin to desire power. When we discuss the subject of dominion, we are not trying to motivate people to do what they are not. When we discuss the subject of dominion, we are actually telling people to come into their reality. Because seated in every man is a kingly spirit. But you see, there are laws that govern dominion. And every time a man violates the precedences of those laws, even though he's a king, he becomes a servant. The Bible said in Galatians 4 verse 1, it said the heir, so long as he lacks understanding of the prerequisites of rulership, he said he's a servant, even though he is Lord of all. So the design of the man is to be the Lord of all. The moment the man begins to function anything short of lordship, rulership, and dominion, it's either he has fallen from the realm of his design, or he's a child that lacks understanding. So what the gospel does to us is that it restores us back to our original identity and DNA in God, so that we can step into rulership. And secondly, it relieves us of the ignorance that places us in perpetual bondage, so that we begin to function in our status in God. So tonight, I know most of you here are born again. So I'm not talking to people who are slaves. I'm actually talking to people who are kings but are children. Children that are heirs but don't know how to exercise their dominion mandate. So I came to tell you that you are a king and you are a priest. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, it said, unto him that washed us in his blood and made us what? Kings and priests before God. Are you ready tonight? There's a difference between humility and timidity. Many people assume that being timid is an act of humility, but it's not so. A man can be timid and think he's being humble. And because even the gospel that is taught in Africa is not taught from the standpoint of truth and verity, we superimpose our wicked traditions into the gospel, and then we marginalize people, thinking by doing so we are making them love God, but it's not true. That's why if you see a Christian from Africa, he's different from a Christian from America. Because a Christian from Africa thinks by lying on the floor he's being humble. But that guy can be lying on the floor and yet be insulting the one to whom he's lying. So humility is not just that act. It's a disposition of the heart. Most times what we do, and our cultures are very rich. I'm not talking against our culture, but I'm talking about those who take the cultural prejudices to an extreme in order to marginalize the people. You are from a culture where they lie down to greet elders. That's beautiful. It is the heritage of your bloodline. The man you are prostrating to greet can tell you, let's go to the shrine. And then you now say, we respect people in this part of the world. You are finished. You will bargain your soul on the strength of what was born out of African context. Lying down to greet him is very honorable. It's respect. But the day he steps out of the boundary of light, lying down notwithstanding, you will not. Because you will not lie down into hell. That's where the balance comes in. Sir, you step out of this country, you see young people at the age of 19, they are CEOs. At the age of 19, you see a young boy doing a global evangelical campaign or a global business. If you know what your mates are doing in other parts of the world, yet very humble and respectful but not intimidated, you will know that your timidity have cost you even your ordination. Some children are trained in a way that they can't even sit with elders. The guy is loaded, but because of the way he was marginalized growing up, when he sits down, his inspiration dies. He doesn't know where to look. He becomes so timid that doors open to him where he should manifest what God has put in him. But because of the chain of timidity that he was passed through in life, it becomes difficult for him to be able to be himself where he should manifest the glory of God. Have you been there before when they invite you to sit with people to talk about serious matter and you can't even look up? That's not respect. That's timidity. They say speak, you begin to stutter, and it looks as if your heart wants to jump out of your mouth. And then the things you know and have perfected for long, suddenly you can't remember it. And the moment you leave the meeting, everything now comes back to you. Because when you went there, you were not prepared to stand before kings. So the day you stand before kings, timidity now robs you of what was given to you. I respect elders. I can't even look at them in the face. But I know the difference between humility and timidity. The first time I came here, I was greeting daddy. I was kneeling down. He said, no, stand up. Stand up, don't kneel down. But we project it so much in the African context because somewhere in our heart, let me tell you the problem with the African man. The problem with the African man is that he has a sense of inferiority. So we can't discuss the subject of dominion except, first of all, people, the spell that is over the souls of men is broken. As I begin to teach, you will see that you are not permitted by scriptures to dishonor authority or elders. You will see it. But at the same time, it should not become a chain on your soul that kills your confidence, kills everything that God has put in you. So much so that you will never. There are many people today, if you tell them to come to this platform, you have killed them. If you tell them to come here, you will beg them for 5 days, they can't come here. Tell them to stand on this platform and just say, thank you, Pastor, sir. It will be more than a PhD thesis. Why? Because their confidence have been so marginalized that even when God gives them a platform, it will become a scene for them to manifest it. Elohim Adonai. Sir, I am called to be a minister. Do you know that up until 300 level, I couldn't address 5 people? If I stand on the platform, it looks as if my heart will burst and rupture. Growing up, if people gather, especially if they are ladies, I can't pass there. As I'm walking, I just have to put my eye face somewhere. It was impossible. Meanwhile, it was an attack and an affront on what God has called me to do. The spirit of timidity is breaking from somebody. You will stand before kings and you will shine. From today, the table that God sets before you, you will dine there with comfort and assurance. So there are 2 kinds of laws that makes for dominion in life. The first are sovereign laws, and the second are universal laws. Sovereign laws are specific laws that are for the people of God. These laws give them an advantage and an edge as they interact with the world system. Universal laws are for everybody. It has no regard to whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. Wherever you are, even if you are a Satanist, universal laws will work for you. Most times, when the people of the world see Christians practicing sovereign laws, they begin to fight it because they don't know the advantage that is locked inside it. The reason is because sovereign laws are not for everybody. Sovereign laws are for the sons of light in the kingdom. But universal laws are for everybody. So before we talk about dominion, we must first of all begin from what is our advantage. Have you been there on the internet before where they speak about tithing, and then you see businessmen who are godless telling people that is for fools, that the tithing is to make the pastor rich? The reason is because he is not privy to the sovereign laws of God. The sovereign laws are secrets for those who are in the kingdom. It's not for everybody. Even if you tell them, they can't understand, because it takes faith to understand sovereign laws. He said, we understand. He said, through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So there is a kind of knowledge and understanding that is only for those that have faith. So those who don't have faith, they can't get it. No matter how you explain tithing to a hidden person, they can't understand it. Because the principle of the world is, get all you can all you get. But the principle of the kingdom is, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered. So while one man is trying to gather, the other man is trying to scatter. So the man who is gathering is not rising, but the man who is scattering, every day he's giving, and the more he gives, he becomes bigger. But the people in the world will tell you it's foolishness. How are you giving everything? You are throwing all your money around. They are not wise. You are functioning by another law. Because when you obey sovereign laws, the jealousy of God is invested over you. So you begin to function beyond the system. Because sovereignty is the power to live above the system. This is why he said, the Bible said, the fig tree might not blossom, neither will there be fruit in the vine. He said, the heads, the stalks shall be empty He said, but yet I will say of my God, the Lord is my salvation. He said, the ditches may be empty and the cloud may be dry, yet they will be full of rain. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. As thou knowest not how bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child. That is how you don't know the ways of the spirit. So sovereign laws are not for reasoning. They are for faith. If we obey only universal laws, then we will be competing with the world. The reason we have an edge over the world is because in addition to universal laws, we have other laws that they cannot understand or keep. They are called the sovereign laws of God. And every believer must know it and commit his or her life to it. Because I tell you, a day will come where everything you know will fail. It is what you don't know that will work for you. So tomorrow, I will talk to us about universal laws. But today, I'm talking to believers. And if you are a believer, you will understand. The first law that imparts dominion is the law of blessings. It doesn't matter who you are connected to or the family you come from. You must fight to receive the blessings of God. Because if you are in this kingdom, there is such a thing called the blessings of God. If you don't have it, a day will come when you will see the futility of trusting in flesh. And let me tell you something. Most of the people you think are just obeying universal laws, they also have an edge in darkness, they won't tell you. You see the businessman come and tell you, use your brain and be hardworking. That's what makes money. Don't go and let any pastor deceive you. When you trace that man closely, you will discover there is a herbalist that watches over his phone. He won't tell you that one. And the reason we know is because every time a man is empowered, the spirit that powers him will become, the character of that spirit will become the man's lifestyle. So when you see people who have money or who are empowered, living lawlessly, you already know the spirit that inspired them. And there is no spirit working in a man's life without a priest servicing an altar. So somebody comes, throws money around, party everywhere. His child is in a club by 1 a.m. And then you think, what that person says is all there is a joke. What that person said is the wisdom the spirit gave him. And the spirit can tell him, go and sell pure water, he will prosper. Go and open nightclubs, he will prosper. It's not about the pure water and the nightclub. There is an investment of that spirit upon that business. If you think it's just about pure water and nightclubs, go and start your own. And then you will discover that there are over 4 million people in Port Harcourt alone competing with you. So the character of a man is a revelation of the spirit that powers him. So beyond what they tell us, we also look at their lives. The patterns and the sequences of activities that characterize their life tells us the spirit that powers them. So nobody functions only by universal laws. The chances are too limited. You must have an edge. And for a Christian, the edge that he has is the blessings of God. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26 to 28, the Bible said, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And he said, God made man in his image, and in his likeness he made him, male and female, he made them both. And he said, God blessed them. God blessed them. The idea was for them to have dominion, but dominion will not be in view, even if they are made in the image and likeness of God. The only thing that will bring dominion in view is the blessings of God. So the first thing God did to the man that he made was to bless him. Remember, the man God makes is an original man. That man just came fresh from the studio of God. The man had no depression whatsoever. The man was thinking at the frequency of God. When God created the woman, God called the woman, woman. The man woke up from sleep and said, you shall be called woman. Because you came out of man. How did he know? He was functioning at the frequency of God. So that's a man of high reasonability. The man was strong that in the garden, and he named all the animals in the world. It takes a lot of hard work to be able to do that. Even if all the animals were coming to you as they came to Noah, it will take hard work, focus, diligence, and consistency to be able to name all the animals in the world. So the man was very hardworking. But God did not bank on his intelligence. God did not bank on his hard work. The Bible said, and God blessed them. Because without that blessing, the hard work will be in vain. The intelligence will be in vain. That's why many people are on first class today. They're on the street. Have you interacted with some young men? They know the solution to every problem you can think about, but nothing opens to them because there are doors that are blocked ahead of them. They can't step in. Knowledge is there. Determination, there. If a man is not diligent, can he graduate with first class? It takes a lot of wisdom, intelligence, administration in time management, hard work to make a first class. How come somebody makes a first class and it becomes useless? Because it takes more than hard work for a man to have dominion. For you to have dominion in life, there must be blessings on your head. The patriarchs of old know. That's why no patriarch ever dies without blessing his son. They know that their sons studied after them. Their sons understood their ways, but it was not enough. The Bible said in Genesis 19 verse 18, he said, I know Abraham my servant, for he will command his children after my ways. So Isaac and Jacob were taught the oracles of God. Abraham is a skillful teacher of the word of God. Abraham is a tutor of the things of the spirit. So much so that even the sons of the concubine were taught the ways of God by Abraham. Even the servants in Abraham's house were taught the ways of God by Abraham. The Bible said when four kings came to defeat Lot, it said Abraham took 318 trained servants from his house. And see what the Bible said. It said Abraham divided himself. So these guys knew the mysteries and the codes of the spirit realm. That means Abraham put the spirit upon all of them. And suddenly, each one of them became Abraham. So Abraham didn't just send them to fight with bows and arrows. He said, Abraham divided himself. So even the servants in Abraham's house knew the secrets of God. One of the sons of Keturah, who is the concubine of Abraham, is the priest of Midian. He was the one that started the Midianites. He learned the ways of God from Abraham so much so that he taught it to his children. After many generations, Moses met Reuel, and Reuel taught Moses the way of priesthood. So even the servants of Abraham did not only know the ways of God, they taught it to their children for many generations. So much so that some of them were priests. So they called Jethro, who is also called Reuel. Reuel means the friend of God. So the Midianites understood priesthood so much that the great grandsons of a concubine called Keturah knew the ways of priesthood enough that they will teach Moses. It was Reuel that told Moses that in Horeb there is a portal. There's a portal in Horeb. When I served God on the altars, I knew there was an energy in Horeb. That's why once and again Moses went to Horeb. And for many years of Moses' life, Reuel was his teacher. That's the level to which Abraham taught his children the ways of God. But with all of that lesson, it's never enough. Before Abraham died, he blessed Isaac. Because he knows the teaching enough alone is not enough to make him have dominion. In addition to the teaching, in addition, remember the Bible said, Abraham took his son, Isaac and Jacob, from tent to tent. So they observed Abraham and learned the ways of God, but it was not enough. Before Abraham left, Abraham laid his hands on Isaac and transferred the aggregation of the works that he had with God to Isaac. Before Isaac died, Isaac did not allow Jacob and say, no, my children, no God. What is that? He said, get me venison that my soul may bless you. And in addition to the training, when he brought venison, he said, my son's skin smells like the field that the Lord has blessed. And he laid his hands on him. He said, I bless you with corn and wine. I bless you with the dew of heaven. He said, see, he began to change the cosmos in favor of his son. So even when his son makes mistake, there are powers in the invisible realm that we walk in his advantage. Who told you what you know is enough to have dominion? There is no man in this world that can say, I am where I am because I labored. You are a joker. There is the element of God that completes the equation. And it is the blessings of God that makes that happen. Did you notice in Genesis chapter 1, when God blessed them, the first thing that God said, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. The elements of dominion are provoked by the blessing. That means a man can be hardworking, but he may never be fruitful. Fruitfulness is a product of the blessing. Have you not seen somebody labored and started a business, a real estate business, and then he built estate with over 4 billion? And the moment he finished building it, the government now comes and say, we want to do road here. You built an estate because they told you that the government is starting projects here, and you think the city center will come there. When you now finish, they now say, Kai, sorry, we have shifted the map. There was a mistake. And then estate with over 90 pieces of duplex will stand there, nobody renting it. Because there's a difference between hard work and fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is in the blessing. When I teach on the universal laws, I will tell you the place of hard work. But I'm showing you the things that makes for our advantage, that the world can't understand our success. The Bible said, Isaac, in Genesis 26, he wanted to run with everybody to Egypt. Because the idea is, follow the seasons. So when the climate changes, there are areas where there is green pasture. So go there. So seasons determine your navigation. The guy was supposed to be nomadic. But God said, stay still in Gera. What powers you is beyond the intelligence of astrology. What powers you is beyond human intelligence. Stay still in Gera. And he said, Isaac stayed in that land. Now, listen to this. The Philistines were digging where it was dry. But when Isaac dug, water came out. So they came and collected his well. Isaac now left the well for them and moved. And then he dug another one. The one Isaac left dried up. And then they pursued him back to the new one he dug. And they said, okay, you think it's about location. He now left them with that well and went and dug another one. The one they collected dried up. Because it's not water that is in that well. It is the song of the Spirit. Spring forth, oh ye well. So the water in that well is the bubblings of the Spirit in the life of Isaac. Laban shortchanged Isaac 10 times. But every time Laban takes the advantageous position and give Isaac the disadvantageous position, something happens and the puzzle changes. That's why I say, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because in the blessing, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. If you are not blessed, even if you are a king, you may never reign. Because there's a difference between being a king and reigning. It is the blessing that makes you to reign. So everybody in this kingdom that despises the blessing is not wise. It's not wise. It's not wise. Elohim Adonai. Thank you. Elohim Adonai. No, please sit, sit. Wow, you guys are looking great. The blessing is too important. But that's what many Christians despise. They assume that they are intelligent. Have you not seen governors become nothing? The former deputy governor of my state, after 4 years in office, went back to contest for the position of councillor. If there is no blessing, even if you read the sky, you will come down. Have you imagined a former governor going to contest for the post of councillor, and now that post is not even available again? Because be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue is captured in the blessing. When a man is blessed, in addition to these things, there is an ingredient in God that comes upon his life. It's called favor. These are the articles of the blessing that makes you to have dominion. I'm not talking about I'm succeeding, I'm doing well. That's not what I'm saying. The man who obeys universal law also succeeds. I'm talking about rulership. You are in business. I'm not saying I made my capital back and I doubled it. No. They are selling pure water. And then if you enter this city, you are the one that determines what water, how water flows in the market. That's dominion. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking, I have a church and then we are 500. No. I'm talking, if they say the body of Christ, you are a voice. When you talk, it affects the direction of things. That's dominion. I'm not talking I'm in politics and I just won election into the House of Reps. I'm talking you go to a party and because you go there, the pendulum shifts in their favor. And many other politicians decamp to that party. Because leadership will go there. That's dominion. This is the heritage of the believer. But it takes the blessings of God that causes men to ever increase to bring you there. Most of you think when you graduate, you get a good job and sometime tomorrow, you'll be a millionaire. I'm telling you, in 200 level, you can have 20 million. And the money will not mislead you. The blessing comes with a package of wisdom that gives you capacity to bring administration to that money. So you can be on campus and your staff are master's degree holders. Have you not seen illiterates that hire the best minds in the world? That's dominion. If we know the things that are available to us, our lives will be a wonder. Because that's the destiny of the believer. It says, say unto Joshua and the men that sit with him, men greatly wondered at. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs, we are for wonder. If it is normal, then it's not a testimony. We don't know these truths. So when God begins to prosper you, people come everywhere and say, hey, be careful, be careful. What do you mean careful? You are over 30 years. You are beginning to succeed. And they are saying you have speed. What is that? You are behind. What is speed? At the age of 12, Jesus was correcting the doctors of the law. God is helping you at 30. And then people are coming and say, hey, you have speed. Oh, what speed? At the age of 17, David was already slaying leopards. At the age of 17, he slew Goliath. the help God is helping some of us now. People come and say, hey, be careful. This man will soon crash. I say, Abba, we are already very late. What are we saying? That's why we are praying and impacting those who are younger than us to do twice or thrice or four times what we are doing now. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou have ordained strength to steal and to silence the avenger. We are looking at a day where boys of 17 years will have crusade in stadium and pack it out. You are telling an old man that he's fast. What do you mean fast? Do you know that in the all court, some at the age of 12 are grandmasters? Grandmasters at the age of 12. So when a man is blessed, favor comes with blessing. And look at what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12. The Bible said, verse 32, he said, and God gave favor to the Israelites, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They took the wealth of Egypt. Now, if you read that scripture in isolation, you won't appreciate it. Israel were slaves in Egypt for close to 400 years. They were there for a total of 430 years, but their persecution began after the death of Joseph. So they were slaves for close to 400 years. How can a 400-year slave suddenly go to the master and say, give me your gold? And then your master say, yes, sir. And I'm not just saying master that have a cordial relationship. I'm saying master that flogs them with whip from morning till night and deny them food at will. A tyrannical master. All of a sudden, favor comes on your life so strong that your master overnight becomes your slave. He's looking for what to do to please you. That's what favor does. It commands the allegiance of men. When a man becomes blessed, one of the things God deploys in his life that makes for the possibility of dominion is favor. So all of a sudden, you have been preaching for a while, and then God puts favor on your life, and favor becomes a fragrance. And somebody hears your clip, and then he sends it to another person who is a billionaire, and they say, who is this? And they said, put him on the private jet and bring him now. That was what changed T.D. Jakes' ministry. Preaching for many years, Rema, but there was no favor. The day favor came, one man heard his message and they flew him in a private jet. And from that day, he didn't as much as go back to his former house. What favor can do for you in one day? Hard work won't do it in a lifetime. You will know you don't qualify, but favor will qualify you. What you are begging God for? Did you not read the story of Ruth and Naomi? The lady went to glean at the field, and suddenly Boaz looked upon her, and favor began to speak its strange language. And Boaz was not looking at a helpless girl to help. Boaz was looking at a wife. And he didn't stop there. It was that marriage that bettered Jesse. So God was by favor bringing her into the bloodline of the Christ, so that she will become the mother of Jesus Christ. These were people that went to look for bread in a foreign land, becoming the mother of the bread of life. Favor will surpass your expectation. Favor will surpass your expectation. So when we pursue the blessing, it's because of the ingredients that are in the blessing. I've seen a lot of abominations on the face of the earth. Women that should give birth to kings are looking for husbands. All the mascara, all the foundation, all the babbling of the eyelashes, no man has seen them, because there is a fragrance of favor. The day it comes, one day, you have five suitors. And then you'll be asking yourself, where were they all this while? A woman barren for 10 years, all of a sudden gives birth, and he gives birth to four children one time. And then you say, what happened in the first 9 years? There's an economy that provokes fruitfulness in the blessing. It's called the favor of God. I want to talk about the law of the blessings, but I need to show you what the blessings do. You'll come to a place where kings are looking for you. Kings that men queue up. And remember, you don't see a king empty-handed. You'll take your best so that you will have his favor. All of a sudden, the kings begin to treat your favor. And then you check yourself. What happens? I look the same way I looked 1 year ago. There is a garment that you have worn. It's called the garment of favor. The third thing the blessing does is that it provokes the mercy of God. You know, when God begins to show a man mercy, the first thing mercy does for a man is that it causes that man to approach God. The man becomes a friend of God. The man, God, becomes his inheritance. So others may have things, that man has God. There are people who have a lot of cars. There are people who have a lot of money. So they are wealthy in dollars. They are wealthy in pounds. They are wealthy in naira. But there are other few people who are wealthy with God. A man who is wealthy with God is a man that enjoys the mercy of God. So God decides by an act of his own sovereignty to commit himself to that man. Obedience is man committing himself to God. Mercy is God committing himself to a man. Nothing qualifies a man like mercy. There are laws in the spirit, the laws of justice and equity. So God gives to men what they desire. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart, I try the reins to give to every man as his way should be, not the man of favor, of mercy. A man who has mercy, even when he should have what he desires, mercy will now prevail over judgment. Help her. Mercy will prevail over judgment. In Zechariah chapter 3, the high priest had a filthy garment. Now, the law of priesthood is that the head of the priest must never lack oil, neither his garment stained. But here was a high priest that had a filthy garment. And Satan came to resist Joshua, the high priest. And suddenly, the courts of heaven appeared. It was the court of heaven that was supposed to kill Joshua. Because when you appear before the Shekinah and your garment is stained, the Shekinah will slay you. The sons of Aaron, they brought a strange fire before the Lord. And the mercy seat, the fire of God came out of the mercy seat and killed them. And God told Aaron, don't cry for them. But here was a high priest that had a filthy garment. The devil had seen it already and is beginning to resist him. And instead of God killing him, in verse 3, God said, no, don't touch him. He said, the Lord resisted Satan. And God said, remove the filthy garment from him. And God didn't stop there. God gave him an acquittal. What did he do to deserve it? He didn't do anything. He only enjoyed the mercy of God. If we only function by justice and equity, we'll be limited. You know why? Because we are men. And because we are men, many times, even we betray ourselves. Have you not been there before? Where many times you know what to do, but your humanity won't let you do it. And then when the time comes, you know that you don't qualify. Not because you want to, but you are a man. The only thing you do is to, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And the language of mercy is that mercy prevails over judgment. And because God knows we are men, God ensures that his mercies are new every morning. I'm telling you what we rule in this life. We don't rule in this life because we are the best. I know many people, they say, God, use me. And then they appear before God and say, come on. They have fasted for 10 years. Non-stop, 10 years. Is that beautiful? Yes. All of us fast. They say, Lord, I pray for 10 hours every day. What is this person doing? Some know the Bible cover to cover. They know all the doctrine. If they begin to expound, the exegetical intelligence surpasses everything you have seen. But they will preach that message, nobody hears. The best message in the world is not heard. Because most times, these men feel they qualify. And when they want to function by qualification, God will now begin to check. And then among the apostles in Nigeria only, maybe there are 7,000 apostles. And then on the scale of qualification, maybe you are 200. And God wants to raise 7 apostles as voices. So even if God repeats it 5 times, you'll still not qualify. I remember when I just came out of school, I went for an interview with a friend of mine. I was trying to secure the voice of God then. I had not known exactly what God would have me do. And then when we went for the interview, we came out and my friend told me, my God. He said he cleared their doubt in that interview. He said when he was talking, the people were just nodding. He knew in his mind they were wondering, what from whence does this man this knowledge? Me, I became afraid. Because this interview, they said they wanted to pick 2 people. And I know they will pick 1 lady and 1 male. And I say, oh boy, if these people are already endorsing this, my friend, it means there is no hope for some of us. So I said, well, God will show us mercy. We now went home. After 3 days, they now picked 2 people. They picked me and 1 lady. When we now went, I now discover, no, the work will take all my time because it's an NGO. They walk into Saturday. And I was a cell leader then. I need to go for evangelism within the week. I need to have cell meeting. I need to attend leaders meeting in church. I say, I can't do it. It's from morning till 4 p.m. till Saturday. And they told us sometimes you will work on Sunday because they may send you to some villages to collect data. And I say, no, I won't come. The lady too now declined the job. So they now went to the second 2 people. When they now called the second 2 people, my friend was still not there. Mercy prevails over judgment. You want to start a business? Thank God for your Harvard certificate. But in addition to it, you need the mercy of God. I'm telling you, these are the things that make for dominion. When you see a man reigning, there is the indices of mercy. There is the indices of favor. If you ask that man in all sincerity, he will tell you he doesn't know how he came here. And if you take a census, you will discover there are many people who are doing far better than him. See the young people that are out this night in Port Harcourt. There are some people in Port Harcourt that have youth ministry and they've been in it for 30 years. And when they have their national convention, the youth, they are not up to 300. Not because they are doing anything wrong, but it takes mercy for these kinds of things to happen. Most times we are too high-minded. You think you are too beautiful. That's why when you approach 30, you will now receive a new syllabus. That marriage does not run on the frequency of beauty. You will think you are too intelligent. When you finish and you bag your first class, then you understand there's a university on the street. That one has no regard for first class. What distinguishes men there? It's mercy. I'm saying this to reduce high-mindedness. You know, when I told you that we are kings, some arrogant people say, yes, of course. They will go back home, and when those elders talk to them, they will tell them to the face that they are kings. That's not what I was saying. It means you didn't hear me. That's why I said it is a believer who understands. There are many laws that makes for the blessing. But I'll just pick three quickly and show you. The first law that makes for the blessings of God is the law of honor. I want to show you some things now. This is where the message is. I just took time to give you some of the things that the blessing can do. That a man may not be qualified, but he'll be chosen. That a man may not be the best, but he will be the desired. Because of the ingredient of the blessing that provokes favor and mercy. And a man may not be doing so much, yet his harvest will be geometric. Because the blessing provokes multiplication. But there are laws that makes for the blessing. The first is the law of honor. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, he said, they that honor me, I will honor. He said, but they that despise me, I will lightly esteem. So a man who does not honor God can never walk in the blessing. You come to church, they say, let's pray. Our worship is going on. The Spirit of God is moving. And then you are clapping at a young baby. Hello, come here. How are you? How is daddy? You have not discerned the presence of God. Those who honor the Lord, it's not on their lips, it's in their actions. And there are three actions that reveal honor. The first is reverence. They tremble at the presence of God. How dare you come to church? The word of God is going on, and you cross your leg, you are chewing bubble gum. You don't know the spirit before whom you have come. His name is called Elohim. He's the Almighty. When he appears, his presence and his entourage are thunders and lightning. When you see him in his regalia, you can't stand. No one have ever stood before him in the whole of scripture. It was Ezekiel that said that he was in the 30th year, on the 4th month, in the 5th day, I was among the captives by the river Kabah, and I saw visions of God. And when he saw him, the movements of the cherubims alone made the guy to fall like a dead man. He said to Moses, no man sees me and live. He said, I will hide you by the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hands. And I will cause all my goodness to pass by. When the goodness passed, when Moses came down, they worshipped him as a god. Because his face began to shine. And then you come before such a being with dishonor. You have no reverence for him. The men God exalt, when God speaks, they tremble. Have you not heard people that tell you, God told me to do this, but I don't know yet. I'm thinking about it. You will labor for a long time. He said, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. They know not how to enter the city. The how to enter the city is to be guarded with the fear of the Lord. There are many pastors that have no fear for God. They've seen miracles. No, they are used to it. They come from a miracle service and they lie on their bed and say, Lord, thank you for today. How far? What did it happen? You become familiar. And when you become familiar, a spirit will notice. A spirit will always notice. That's why he told Joshua, he said, tell the priest that bear the ark to go ahead of the congregation and to give a gap of about 50 meters. They can't come close to the ark because that gap is to sustain reverence before the Lord. They will never come to a point where they become familiar with the presence. Because it's not about a song when we worship. It's about the glory and the brightness of God. You may know the song, but it's not about the song. It's about the deity that the song invokes from the heights of the heavens. Who told you it's about the message? It's never about the message. It's about the being called God. And that's why the name of God forever and ever is I am that I am. It means Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. I will be what I will be. So he's ever fresh and holy. No man can become familiar with him. Even the 24 elders that are in the throne room of heaven. The Bible said day and night they fell from their throne. They cast their crown and they worship. Do you know how many years those beings have been with God, but they've never been familiar? He said the 24 beasts, day and night, forever and ever, they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Reverence is what imparts ranking in the spirit. Men are not ranked in the spirit because they are intelligent. Men are ranked in the spirit because they have reverence for God. It's not tied to that gives men rank. Our generation is a generation where everybody wants to call himself apostle because they think the title of an apostle bequeaths rank. No, a brother can be more ranking than a prophet and an apostle. Today, a minister is in ministry for 15, 20 years and then he feels he's not qualified to be an apostle. So he moves from pastor to reverend and then to apostle. You are jokers. It's reverence. It's the law of honor. That's what provokes blessing. And honor is not in words. It's in fear and in trembling. He said the Lord resisted the proud, but he gave us more grace to the humble, the meek at heart. Why do you think Moses was so mighty? He said Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth. He said, Moses, my servant, is faithful in all of my house. Moses trembled at God. He trembled. He trembled. Many times he will fall on his face flat for 6 days. 6 days. He's entreating God. He's pleading. He's begging for 6 days. This is a man that took a staff and brought down Egypt. This is a man that said, except I'm not called of God, the earth will open her mouth and swallow you up. This is a man that commanded the Red Sea to part. But he never became big. In the presence of God, we always remain children. We always remain servants. We always remain those who are always seeking to please him. The second law of the blessing. Meanwhile, the second way to show honor is by giving. He said, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. This is the greatest motivation. Now, no, the second greatest motivation for giving. The first motivation for giving in the kingdom is love. The second motivation for giving is to show honor to God. This is why when we tell people to give their tithe, the heathen will come and say, you are going to give your money to church. They are not wise. We are making a statement of reverence, loyalty, and commitment to our King. The tithe is a testimony of reverence. This is why we give. We don't give necessarily because we want to bargain with God. Our giving is a testimony of how much we honor him, how much we love him. Because love is shown on the frequency of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And honor is showing also on the frequency of giving. Honor the Lord with your substance. Proverbs 3 verse 9. When you see believers who can't give to God, they don't honor him. You will never see a man you honor and not give to him. It's not possible. That's why men bring gift to kings. Not because kings need them. Most times the richest people in territories are kings. Yet they keep receiving. Because they are creatures of honor. And God is the creator of honor. So we give to him. It's the law of the blessing. Do you now see why Isaac will tell Jacob to bring venison that is so a blessing? Because when you give, when you show honor, there's a gradient in the spirit that makes for blessing. Without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And the way to show it is by giving. And it's not just money. It's your time. It's your energy. When you come to work in a program like this, you are not working for pastor. You are showing your honor to God through loyal service. That's why even if the pastor scolds you, thank you, sir. I'm not working for you. I'm working for Jesus. If the pastor likes, he say, you are a fool. Why did you do this? I'm sorry, sir. Please forgive me. By all means, don't take the privilege of service away from me. If you want to punish me, punish me. But I will keep serving. Because the way to the top is not to the mountain. It's in depths of service.
They are sovereign laws. They are guarded with secrets and with mysteries. That's why the world can't know it. He said the secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29. He said, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. In Psalm 25 verse 14, he said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1, he said, we are servants of God. Therefore, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. He said, I, Job. The Bible said in Job chapter 1 verse 1, that Job was a man that feared the Lord and delighted greatly in his commandment. And in Job 29 verse 4, he said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacles. These are the secrets that gives us an advantage in life. There is nobody that will talk me out of giving. There is no day that passes that I don't give to God and I don't give to the poor. No day. I know the law, so I practice it. I don't only wait for people to sow. I am a crazy sower. Because God giveth bread to the eater, but he giveth seed to the sower. The man who doesn't sow will turn to penury. He says, sow in the morning, in the evening, withhold not thy hand. Give a portion to seven, give a portion to eight. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. So the men who do these things, even if the foundation of the earth crumbles, they will still stand. Because we are not standing on the earth. We are standing on the word of God. The second law of the blessing is the law of uprightness. Nobody that lives mischievously can ever be imparted with the powers of dominion. Not in this kingdom. Isaiah, Jeremiah 17 verse 10, I the Lord, I try the heart. I test the reins. God will check the uprightness and integrity of your heart. Samuel saw Eliab grown in stature. He said, this must be the Lord's anointed. He said, no, I have rejected him. Men look upon the outward, but I look at the heart. The Bible said in Job chapter 1 verse 3, he had 7,000 cattle, 3,000 yokes of oxen, 5,000 sheep. And he said he was the greatest of all men from the east. The Bible said when Job speaks, his voice is like the rain. That means when Job is done talking, nobody else talks. He was a ruler in his world. But how? Job is a man that feared the Lord and eschew evil. The world will think, will make you feel that if you compromise a little, it will take you forward. But it's a lie. Every time you compromise, you take many steps backward. That's why many young ladies, they compromise, sleep with lecturers and pass exam. But when they graduate, they don't have husbands to marry. When they graduate, they have passed from school, but they have no jobs. And because they went the way of fornication, they will keep fornicating for every level they want to get to. But in the blessing, the invisible hand of God takes us up. That's why if it means to die, we die. It's an honor to stay loyal to Jesus. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, from verse 7, or from verse 3 to 5, it said, Uzziah began to reign at the age of 16. That's the level of mercy, favor, and blessing that he enjoyed. From the age of 16, he began to reign. And the Bible said, so long as he gave heed to the visions of Zechariah, or to Zechariah the prophet, who understood the visions of God, he prospered. In verse 7 of that scripture, he said he went to the camp of his enemy and destroyed them utterly because the Lord helped him. He said, this man built engines. In those days, by divine inspiration, the guy could build engines that threw weapons. So when his enemy are running with stones, they are releasing missiles from engines. But a point came, the Bible said, when he became mighty, he despised the ways of the Lord and he fell down.
To live perpetually under the canopy of the blessing, you must live an upright life. That's why when the devil wants to destroy you, he doesn't take your bread, he takes your loyalty to Jesus. When your loyalty is gone, you are finished. When you come to that point where you have no stand for God, you are finished. I'm telling you, because most of you are young. You have seen visions. Angels have appeared to you. Jesus himself has appeared to you. You will go nowhere until you understand the law of the blessing. Do you know why many people compromise? They think their help is with a man. Every man who helped you was inspired by God to do it. Because the heart of king is in the hand of God. He turns it in whichever direction he pleases. That man who is helping you has more than 1,000 relatives that he doesn't help you. It is God that got him to help you. So instead of breaking your loyalty to God, better break your loyalty to that man if he leads you astray. That's why I began with what I taught you at first. Not to provoke rebellion, but to bring you to a point where your rigid loyalty is to Jesus and Jesus alone. Can I tell you something? In this kingdom, only God makes men. Every other man is a channel. In Genesis 1:26, he said, "Let us make man." If God doesn't say, "Let us make man," even if they put you, I tell people, if they carry you to go and preach in Shiloh, nobody will remember you. If they take you now to the presidency, nobody will remember you. You will leave there and vanish like mist, unless God himself decides to make you. And when God decides to make you, even if you are a beggar, it doesn't matter, because he's the one that taketh the beggar from the dunghill and makes him to stand with princes and rule in thrones. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Only the Godhead has the power to make men. Am I saying dishonor men? No. As I teach you universal laws, I will tell you the place of fraternities. But everybody God used to help you was inspired by God. Do you know how many pastors God's servant knows? I'm like a son to him. He can invite anybody in this kingdom to come here. How did I come here? It is mercy. It is the blessing. Not because I qualify. God put it in his heart. Most of the big deals in this country today are his mates in ministry. Perhaps he knows them personally. It costs nothing to say, "Sir, I want you to be part of what I'm doing." What is the date they will come here? How will he leave all of those ranking men and go to look for a small boy and say, "Come and talk to my people"? It's mercy. And if you want to walk in such order of blessings, God will test your heart. He will carry you through processes where you have the privilege of compromising, but you will say no. Like Joseph, the journey to the palace is not through a highway, it is through prisons and dungeons. But even in the dungeon, he said, "How can I do this wicked thing before God?" Even in the prison, he stood his ground for 17 years. Hardship everywhere, but he knows that only God makes men. The same butler he told to talk to the king about him did him for 2 years. Until when the time appointed of God, and it was David by the prophetic anointing that was telling us that until the time that his word came. So every human affiliation never worked until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of the people, he made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance to teach his senators wisdom. How can a prisoner teach senators? His word has come. So those 17 years of trials were to test his loyalty to Jesus. And when his loyalty was verified, God was not threatened to raise him anywhere, because everywhere he goes, he becomes an ambassador of the kingdom. We're out of time. I would have shown you. When these things begin to happen, God puts his dread on your life, the fear of God, he will invest it. In Numbers 2:25, he said, I will put my dread upon you, and all the nations that hear of you will be afraid and they will run. So Israel was not fighting because their army was the best. Israel was fighting because they fear God. Before Israel comes, their enemy is already paralyzed. So Israel comes to fight a paralyzed army. The fear of God was on Israel. In Numbers 11:25, God repeated the same thing verbatim. I will put my dread upon you. But it's when a man is upright before God that he enjoys these things. Forget anybody that tells you there's a shortcut. It's a lie. You must be tested. You must be tried. Even Jesus was tested in the wilderness. Because there's no bias with God. He's the just custodian of justice, judgment, and equity. This is the law of the blessing. It's not just to run and kneel down and say, man of God, bless me. Meanwhile, you are a fornicator. The man will pour a drum of oil on your head, nothing will happen. Have you not received impartation upon impartation? At best, it will be a seed in your spirit. He blessed Jacob, but Jacob was a supplanter, so he could not be blessed. Until he changed his name from a supplanter to Israel. So uprightness must become an ingredient in your life. That's what causes the blessing to rest. Forget this gullible Christianity and cliche of people. They are living in sin, in the dark. All kinds of garbage in their life. And they think because an apostle pours oil on them, or a prophet tells them you'll prosper, they will prosper. You are joking. Not in this kingdom. You can come the way you are, but you can never remain the way you are. God must make you. And the way God makes men is to first of all break them and to mold them again. Because he's a potter. I, the Lord, I kill it and I make it alive. God must kill before he brings life, so that he will not ascribe the glory to the men that you are connected to, or to the deity of your father's house. When God makes you, you will know it is God. Rise up and pray in the spirit. By telling you that I didn't come to share to the African religion. You know, the African morals are very excellent, but the gospel is better. Because when you do it by the gospel, you do it with a perfect heart. It will not be a show in the flesh. It will be with a perfect heart. So the gospel will not be against what you are taught, but the gospel will make you a better version of what they were trying to teach you. Remember, Jethro told Moses to do division of labor. When God came, God told Moses the same thing. But in the equation of God, it's not division of labor, it's division of spirits. That's the difference. I pursue the anointing. I pursued A-list ministers. I went for their conferences from a teenage age. As a young boy on campus, as an NYC student. The other time I went to Lagos, I landed in Oyibo and I was left with 200 naira. Lagos, I think I was I was about 23 or 24. 200 naira in the city like Lagos. That was the first time I was going to Lagos. But I heard Reverend Chris at the conference, and I said I must come. When I went for passing on the torch, I slept on the field. That was just like 4 years ago. I said, I will not leave you until something rests of me. But the more I received impartation, the more the law of God became heavy on my life. A point will come, God will even tell me, if I say some things, I will lose my peace for the whole day. I didn't sin, I just spoke out of tune. Or I said what I didn't have permission to say. And the whole day, it will look as if the anointing drained off my life. I say, what is this? Because it's kingdom, and kingdom is government. Government is laws. We travel every day. How do you think we are invincible? Because there's a spirit that is jealous over our welfare and our protection. We can't violate it. We travel from territory to territory. I flew to Abuja yesterday from Onitsha. I was addressing close to 7,000 people. I was drained. I still showed up here. I've not even had enough time to tarry with God as I would have wanted. But when I come, I say, Jesus, have mercy. He shows up. Do you know how many people that want you to die? Do you know how many people that have sized you and said, this one will never succeed? They may be laughing with you, but they've told themselves you will never succeed. Even if their son's friend come and say he wants to marry you, they say, this one, don't go there. Not because you did anything wrong, but it's the wickedness of man and the humanity of man. That's why you need God. It's not religion where people are just screaming, falling, and then, no, it's not religion. We are looking for something genuine that will confer upon us the powers of dominion. So that whether you are a child or an adult, whether you are educated or you are not educated, will no longer be a factor. It will be the God in you willing to manifest himself through you. Ask the Lord tonight that you want to be a candidate of the blessings manifestly. Every one of us born again is blessed, but not every one of us can manifest the blessing. Ask the Lord. This is the law of the blessing. Of time. We're out of time. Listen. Obviously, everybody that came here is hungry for God. It will be callous to assume that you don't have hunger to have come here. But in addition to your hunger, there is need for honor. There's need for reverence. There's need for uprightness. That's why God brought you to this mountain. Most of you are destined to be captains of industries. I'm not talking to preachers. I'm talking to kingdom ambassadors. Most of you are supposed to be government officials. Most of you are supposed to be influential and influencers on the media, in the academia. But there is one thing that is against you. That's why God speaks to us like this. There are many who wants to repent and rededicate their lives to God. So that what you are doing is not a jamboree. Are we together? I want to give you an opportunity. There are some of you that you have taken God for granted. Even your friends have more honor in your sight than God. Your pastor has more honor in your sight than God. When you come to see us, you kneel down and say, "Pastor, sir." But when you come to God, you are almost saying, "God, how far?" There are most of you here. If I finish, you will want to jump to touch me or to remove my button and take it home. But the Bible I've laid in your house for 1 year, you've not opened it. God wants to start a new project with you tonight. In case you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, lift your hands toward heaven. If I tell you to come forward, we may be too many. But you are the one that knows where you violate God. You know. Listen, I didn't talk about honor for men. I didn't talk about relationships deliberately. Because when I start dealing with universal laws, I will handle them. Alright? I didn't talk about value systems, including the ones we learned. Because when I talk about universal laws, I will handle them. But tonight, my emphasis is Yahweh. You want to come and hold on to the horn of the altar? You are at liberty to come now. I have 2 minutes to round up. You lifted up your hands, but you felt you need to cry at the altar. Feel free to come.